seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I was about 10 or 11 years old when I first heard the Beatitudes. I came from Saudi Arabia to England, and my Uncle Neville was a church elder over there, and he made us memorize the Beatitudes. And I remember as I heard those and started to memorize them as a child, that last one that is our sermon title today stuck out to me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. As it was back then as a kid, and even now, it's very difficult to be pure in 2026. Darkness is invasive today, more than ever. But I think I've always loved that verse because I've always wanted to see God face to face. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. David says, Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who will stand in his holy place? Those that have clean hands and a pure heart. Proverbs 20 verse 9 says, Who can make their hands clean? And who can purify their hearts? None of us can. But there's good news in the book of James, because James says, Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you sinners. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. I start to realize, friends, that the only way I can have a pure heart is if this dirty heart stands and is in constant communion with the heart that is forever pure. And the more I'm in communion with him constantly, he can purify my heart. And purity is not just me staying away from the darkness and the sins of this world. You know, there's something about it when you can have a childlike innocence. You're saying, Lord, I don't know everything. And there's that humility there. There's a purity in that. And Jesus says, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Besides Jesus in the Bible, we're going to look at a character in the Bible that I believe really exemplifies this life of purity and communion and connection with God. And that is the prophet Daniel. So if you have your Bibles, come with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. And when you get there, please let me know by saying amen. Amen. Daniel 1. And verse 8. Amen? All right. But Daniel purposed in his what, everybody? That he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel wanted to stay pure, not just physically, but spiritually. And he purposed in his heart that I am not going to do this. Some versions say that he was resolved, or he made up his mind. Now, reading Inspiration, we find out that he's under the age of 18. He's between 15 and 17 years old. So I'm just going to land on 16 today. He's about 16 years old. Do you remember when you were 16 years old? I do. He's in a foreign country, foreign language. Mom and dad are far away. And yet he is resolved. He makes up his mind and he says, I am not going to do this. Friends, in order for you to say what you will not do, you must know who you are. Daniel had a strong sense of identity at 16 years old. He saw the Babylonian food, and thank God he probably wanted some of those cruciferous vegetables. Amen. He saw the Babylonian food. He heard the Babylonian music. He saw the Babylonian girls and the nightlife and the movies. And he said, you know what? I'm not from Babylon. I am from Jerusalem. And we don't do this over here in Jerusalem. And he purposed in his heart that I am going to stay pure to my father, even though I'm in Babylon. When I first came to the Lord, my brothers and I, my friends, my friend Tim, we all came to the Lord together around the same time, and we were at the Bible study. And I remember at the Bible study, I was telling folks, hey, we used to always call ourselves children of the night. I'm a child of the night. And as I was testifying in the Bible study, there was a lady in that Bible study. The following week, she gave me a plaque, like a little wooden plaque. And on that plaque, it said 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. When I went home, I turned to that scripture, and this is what it says. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. I came back. She says, Tarek, you're not a child of the night. You're a child of the day. You're not from Babylon anymore, Tarek. You're from Jerusalem. I had a friend in that same study. His name was Yusuf. He's from New York. And he used to always call me Tack. Hey, Brother Tack. He said, Brother Tack, you're born again. I said, praise the Lord. Brother Tack, you're a son of God. I said, praise God. He said, you're royalty, brother. I said, yeah, that's great. But then he said something that hit me. He said, you're royalty. Act like it. I'm not a child of the night. I'm a child of the day. I'm not from Babylon. I'm from Jerusalem. I'm not a slave. I'm royalty. And I'm the son of the king. There's a movie I watch in the scene. It's an old movie. You may even know what I'm talking about. There's these guys coming into Pharaoh's court. And they're different ambassadors. The ambassador of Troy, he's like dressed all nicely, and he gives a gift to Pharaoh. The ambassador of Tyre and Zidon, whatever, and they're all dressed nicely. And here comes Moses and Aaron in their raggedy shepherd-looking clothes. You know, as a Christian, you ought to look different too, amen? And he comes to Pharaoh's court, and the guy at the court looks at them like they don't belong here, and he blocks them with the staff, and he says, what kingdom are you from? And Moses looks at him and pushes the staff aside, and he says, the kingdom of the Most High. Amen. Friends, I don't represent Brooklyn, New York. I don't represent L.A. I don't represent St. Joseph or Berrien Springs. I'm from the kingdom of the Most High. Amen. I don't represent a political party. I'm from the kingdom of the Most High. Amen. And Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. Then I start to think, if I'm a citizen of heaven, how can we be from heaven if we've never been there? Don't you have to be born in that country in order to be there? But then I start to think, hey, I wasn't born in America, but guess what? I'm an American citizen. And by process of naturalization, now I'm an American citizen. So guess what, friends? None of us have been born in heaven, but we've been born again. And through the process of naturalization by the blood of Jesus, we're all citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so now, friends, I'm from Jerusalem. You're from Jerusalem. And the place where we were born, where we've never been, is where we're going. Amen. And that's our home. Daniel knew who he was, whose he was, where he was from, and at 16 years old, he purposed in his heart to stay pure. Now, all those people at Babylon University, the top scholars of the world, learned through a 16-year-old what true Jerusalem heavenly education is all about. The Bible says because he decided to stay pure, he and his friends were 10 times better. Anybody want to be 10 times? I want to be one time better. Now, if you turn with me to chapter 2, I'm just perusing, touching a little bit of the chapters of this man's life. In chapter 2, Daniel is approximately 18 years old. Do you remember when you were 18 years old? I do. Now, at 18, there's a death decree. People are knocking on doors, and you open the door, and they're like, you're going to die. That's a bad night. That's a scary night. And there's fear and there's panic spreading all across Babylon. But this 18-year-old, when he gets the message, he says, why is this decision so hasty from the king? And he asks that he can have an audience with the baddest man in the world. Before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he threw people in fires, killed kings. He didn't play. So when he made a death decree, he meant business. But this 18-year-old says, let me talk to him. King, give me some more time, and I will show you the interpretation. Now imagine if his friends were not in on that. And he comes back and says, boys, let's have a prayer meeting, because I just told the king we're going to show him the interpretation. But while everybody's in panic mode, everybody's in fear, these boys have a prayer meeting. Do you know what I think is rare, as it was back then and still is today? For four teenage boys, on their own, not their parents telling them, not because they came to a Friday night Vespers, but on their own, in a crisis, say, guys, let's pray. And the God of heaven heard those boys' prayers. While everybody else is biting their nails and panicking, not knowing what to do, Daniel comes out the closet and says, blessed be the name of the Lord God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. They're praising God while everybody's panicking. Everyone else is in the dark while they're in the light. He decides that I'm going to stay connected with God, sun, snow, rain. I'm going to keep my window open to heaven. As a result now, these four teenagers, all the world is watching them. Can you imagine them as they all walk to the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar? It wasn't just Daniel, it was all four. They all walked in there. Now all eyes are on them. This is when the least becomes the greatest. When the character is seen in the crisis. When the gold shines in the fire. Now these young boys step up to Nebuchadnezzar and look at Daniel. He says there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets, 18 years old. And he tells the king, this is your dream. He doesn't ask, is this your dream? Is it gold and silver? How am I doing, king? Does that sound about right? He doesn't say that. He says, this is your dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation. When he's done, he says, he doesn't even give Nebuchadnezzar time to talk. He says, the dream thereof is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Then I think everyone in that court saw something they never saw before. They saw the baddest man in the whole world get off his throne and bow down and start worshiping these teenagers as incense went off in the palace. Then Daniel actually not only saved his life and the life of his friends, but the lives of the astrologers and the soothsayers as well. They literally went from a death decree to life. And not only that, at the end of the chapter, they were all promoted. Friends, when you're with God, you're 10 times better. When you're with God, you go from death to life and always a spiritual promotion. Sometimes a literal promotion. Now come with me to chapter 4. Chapter 4. In chapter 4, Daniel is approximately 45 to 50 years old. He's in my age bracket now. And it's during this time that the king Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in this dream, he actually remembers it because he tells Daniel the dream. I saw this big tree, a lot of animals and fruits, and this watcher from the heavenly realm cuts down the tree. And Daniel, what does it mean? No one else could tell it, and Daniel comes. Then the Bible says Daniel is perplexed or dismayed. The King James says for an hour, but for a time. And Nebuchadnezzar looks at his face and says, Daniel, don't let this dream trouble you. Don't let it bother you like this. And Daniel says, King, this is bad news. This is the dream that you wish on your enemies because this is bad news for you. He said, King, you're that big tree. And the God of heaven is going to cut you down. And you're going to be like a beast for 7 years eating grass until you know that there's a God in heaven that rules in the kingdom of men. But notice how Daniel ends his plea to King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, King, break off your sins by doing righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And it may be that God will give you a lengthening of your days of peace and tranquility. Daniel tells him the truth, but it's packaged in language of redemption. He is the mouthpiece of God, telling him like it is, but appealing for his soul that Nebuchadnezzar would obey the God of heaven. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen. A year later, he's walking around, didn't I just build this Babylon? And then 7 years, he goes into beast mode. Matter of fact, he spiritually was already in beast mode. But he went in beast mode times two. It reminded me when I was in the military. I came out of the barracks one day, and I was drunk as I usually was at night. There was a young lady outside. She had her Bible, and she was teaching others around her about the scriptures. And me, in my disrespectful drunkenness, started to make fun of her and mock her, and, oh, you're talking about God and this and that. She, in humility and in truth and grace, began to share with me about God and how God has been moving in her life. Man, I didn't want to hear it. But me, growing up in an Adventist home with my mom, I knew about the Sabbath. So I began to berate her about, I know the Sabbath truth, and she didn't even know about it, and she was not denying what I was saying. She was accepting it. But then, she came up to me, and she continued to appeal to me. And in my drunkenness, I slapped the Bible out of her hand, and it hit the ground, and I cursed God. And she did something I never forgot. She picked up that Bible, and she looked at me, and she said, you're scary, Patel, because you know so much about God, and yet you're doing so little. And then she looked at me before she walked away, and she said these words, with almost pity in her eyes. She said, I'm going to pray for you. To this day, those words have always stuck with me. That's why I'm still preaching it today. She was the mouthpiece of God that day to me. She spoke the truth packaged in redemption. And even though I didn't listen to it, because I was in beast mode, and for at least 8 years after that, I continued to be in beast mode. But just like Nebuchadnezzar, friends, I finally lifted up my eyes and I knew that there is a God who works in the kingdoms of men. You see, friends, when you're with God, you're 10 times better. When you're with God, you go from death to life and promotion. When you're with God, you make permanent impressions on people's lives and you become a soul winner. Now come with me to chapter 5. Now Daniel in this chapter, he's about 80 years old now. 80 years old. And in this chapter, there's a siege. Babylon is under siege. The Medes and the Persians are outside. But they decide to have a party. But the Bible doesn't say it's just a regular party. It actually calls it a great feast. This is a big party. And the king invites 1,000 of his lords to this party. So everybody that's important, all the leaders, all the big shots, everybody that thinks they're somebody is at this party. All the celebrities are at this party. The whole world is at this party. But there's one person that we know at least is not at this party, and that's the man of God. You see, friends, to walk the path of purity, especially in 2026, is to walk a lonely path. Moses forsook the pleasures of Egypt, the Bible says, but the sins of Egypt, but he endured seeing him who is invisible. The man of God was not at that party. Now I'm going to share a quote. Let's see if I brought my phone here. It's right here. I want to share a quote. I just read it this week, maybe a couple days ago, from Mount of Blessings, page 25. She says, "This was why Jesus walked in solitude in the midst of men." You ever felt like you were in a room full of people, but you're alone? Jesus walked in solitude in the midst of men. He was understood fully in heaven alone. On this earth, Jesus was alone, but he was not alone. His window of connection to heaven was always open. Daniel was not at that party. You may have thought he was alone, but this was the man that angels visited. This was the man that was greatly beloved of God. This is the man that had communion with heaven. And so, friends, at the party, there was the writing on the wall now. Everybody's having a good time. Then the party gets crashed by God himself. The king, who was the main man, is now knocking his knees in fear. People are screaming. The lights come on. And guess who they're trying to call to help them figure out what's going on here? They call the man that is not at the party to come help them out. Friends, how can we call people out of Babylon if we're in Babylon? How can we be the firefighter to save people out of the fire if we're in the fire? God needs men and women who walk the path of purity with him. So when it's time, you'll be ready. The folks at the party literally got caught red-handed. It's like someone walked in the room and caught you naked. I mean, they were partying, having a good time and smiling, and all of a sudden it's a scream. It seemed like an ambush. Oh no, what does this mean? What's going on? But here's the question, church. That writing on the wall, is it possible that they could have known what this was all about? Is it possible that they could have actually known what time it was? Wasn't it written in Daniel chapter 2 that after gold would be what? Silver? Wasn't it written in Daniel chapter 7? He actually wrote it in Aramaic, and that was the language of diplomacy for Babylon, like English is. Everybody knows English. Aramaic was a popular language. And Daniel 7 was written in that language. And guess what happens after the lion? A bear. Wasn't it written 170 years before by the prophet Isaiah that the Medes and the Persians and Cyrus himself would be out there. So it's not like they couldn't know. But for them, they were completely caught like an ambush. But guess what, friends? God doesn't ambush the righteous. God's people know exactly the season that they're in. And so Daniel, as he got in there to read the writing, he really didn't even have to read that writing. He already knew what it was all about. But he read the writing on the wall. You see, friends, when you're with God, you have prophetic sight. You have understanding of the times, and you know what time it is. When you're with God, you're 10 times better. When you're with God, you go from death to life and then life promotion. When you're with God, you make permanent impressions on people's hearts. You're a soul winner. When you're with God, you have prophetic understanding, insight, wisdom, and understanding. You know what time it is. Daniel stayed connected to heaven. Now, if you look with me at chapter 6, he's around mid-80s at this time. He's mid-80s. In this chapter, you have the leader of the whole Medo-Persian Empire, and Daniel's once again promoted to the very top. You have all the leaders of the satraps, and Daniel is the very top. So he's literally the second in command of the entire empire. And the Bible says that he has no faults. He has an excellent spirit within him. And I wonder why, church, because Daniel prayed how many times a day? Now, when he prayed, did he pray like, I'm going to pray this window today, that window tomorrow, and then this window the next day, or maybe morning, afternoon, and evening? Did he do that? Or did he pray at a particular window? He prayed at that window toward Jerusalem every time in his mid-80s, because Daniel knew who he was. He kept the window to Jerusalem connected at least 3 times a day. You see, Daniel figured it out. When I'm with God, I'm 10 times better. When I'm with God, I'm promoted. When I'm with God, I'm a soul winner. When I'm with God, I have understanding. And I've been doing this for 85, 86 years now. I understand the secret of my strength and power. I'm going to keep this window open. Church, have you figured it out? Do you understand the secret of strength and power in your life? Or is your window closed and maybe other windows are open? Daniel was a powerful man because he knew where the power came from. And so the devil says, okay, this man has been messing me up for 70 years since he was a kid. And I know how to stop this man. I gotta close that window. But Daniel says, okay, he was certain with the lions, and even though he knew lions was his fate, he opened up that same window, and he knelt down as he did all the time, and he prayed to his God in Jerusalem. I'm reminded of the story of Polycarp. He was the bishop of Smyrna. I actually got a chance to go to Smyrna last year, and I thought it was pretty cool. Because I stood on the rock, and as each of us in the Michigan Conference, each pastor read the passage of Revelation for that certain church in that location, and I was privileged to read the letter to Smyrna in Smyrna. And I don't know where Polycarp exactly died, but I could have been close to his spot. And he was the bishop of Smyrna, and they asked him to renounce Christ, and oh, you're going to burn in the fire. And Polycarp said, for 86 years, I have been serving my Lord and Savior, and he has been good to me, and he has done me no wrong. And after 86 years, you think I'm going to turn my back on him? They said, you're going to get in that fire. We got wild beasts, too. You're going to get in that fire. It's going to burn. And he told them, that fire is just going to last for an hour. But are you concerned of the fiery judgment that's coming for you? And Polycarp died. Now let me ask you a question. If Daniel was ready to be a martyr, he went to the lion's den. If Daniel died, would he have lost? In fact, every martyr is a victor, victorious in Christ. They passed the greatest test. Daniel, OG, 86 years old. I kept this window open. I didn't have mom and dad, but I had my father. When I had a death decree, I had my father. He has taken me through life, and I'm not going to close this window to him now. And guess what? He's ready for death. But if he would have died, he would have been a great witness and a martyr for the kingdom of God. But Daniel didn't die. God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth because God said, Daniel, I'm not done with you yet. I'll let you know when it's time. And he kept the old man around for a little longer. When you're with God, friends, you're 10 times better. When you're with God, friends, you go from death to life and in life a promotion. When you're with God, friends, you make permanent impacts and you're a soul winner. When you're with God, you have prophetic understanding and sight and wisdom. When you're with God, you are victorious over life's greatest challenges. Keep that window open. Stay plugged in. Now look with me at chapter 10. Daniel's about 90 years old. Now, do you think the old man Daniel has closed that window? In fact, chapter 10 starts off, I, Daniel, was mourning and fasting and praying for 3 whole weeks. He's not just praying 3 times a day. He's praying all day, every day, for 21 days and fasting straight. You're not going to stop this guy. He's connected. And it's during this time that of fasting and seeking God. He goes to the river Tigris, and he says, he lifts up his eyes, and he sees this man clothed in fine linen. He has a golden belt of Ephraim. His eyes are a flame of fire. His face looks like lightning. His feet are like shiny brass. His voice, the sound of a multitude. And when Daniel sees him, he can't take the glory. Daniel actually says, and I, Daniel, alone, he says it twice, saw the vision. Everybody else ran, they had a quaking, and I was left alone, and I saw this great vision. He fell down as one dead until a hand was laid upon him to lift him up. Revelation chapter 1, John says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in her strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. John saw the Son of Man. John saw the one that was alive and was dead and is alive forevermore. John saw Jesus. Daniel saw the same person. Daniel saw Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Throughout his life, he saw God already. I saw him darkly through that glass. In chapter 1, God showed up. Chapter 2, he showed up. 4, 5, 6, God showed up. And then literally in chapter 10, God showed up. I'm not done with you, Daniel. I'm not done with you yet. I got some more to tell you. I got another vision, and I'm going to give it to you myself. Oh, man, greatly beloved, be strong, be strong, he says to Daniel as he's falling on the ground, friends. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed is present tense. See, friends, when you're with God, you can be 10 times better today. When you're with God, you go from death to life, life to promotion. When you're with God, you're a soul winner. When you're with God, you have insight and prophetic understanding. When you're with God right now, you pass life's greatest challenges. And then you will, face to face, see God. The very last verse of the book of Daniel. After God is talking with Daniel, he tells him this, the very last verse. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. Listen to the commentary by Ellen White. Before his life labors closed, he was given the blessed assurance that at the end of the days, in the closing period of this world's history, he would again be permitted to stand in his lot and place. Daniel was given the blessed assurance, you're going to be in a good place, Daniel, and you will see me again. You can rest now. Your job is done. I'm going to show you this statement here, friends. Accept the one perfect pattern. Who's the perfect pattern?
Jesus.
Accept the one perfect pattern. There is not described in the sacred pages a single character more worthy of emulation. What does emulation mean? Kind of want to be like this person, a good person to imitate, right? There is, in the sacred pages, a single character more worthy of emulation than that of the prophet Daniel. Except Jesus, there's not a single character in all this holy book that's more worthy of emulation than that of the prophet Daniel. Faithful from 16. 45, 50, 60, 90, until the end. That window was open, even in a foreign land. You know what, friends? John says this. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierce. Guess what, friends? At the end of all our journey here, as you're looking at me right now, all of us are going to see God face to face. The Bible says every eye will see him. And even those that pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth will wail because of him. Even so, amen. The question is, friends, when you see him face to face, how many of you want to see Jesus face to face? When you see him face to face, will your heart be pure? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Stay on the path, friends. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, wow, what a perfect A good story, but you're the perfect pattern, is what I meant to say, Lord.
And Daniel, he went through a lot. But you were there with him all the way. And his life is a testimony of that. Lord, may we commit today to keep our window open to you, stay connected with you, because as you've helped a little slave boy from Judah, and you exalted him, that you can help all of us here. Teach us, Lord, to humble ourselves, that you can lift us up. Teach us, Lord, to commune with you daily and to know that the devil wants to close that connection. Because with you, Lord, all things are possible. And with you, Lord, we can achieve the impossible. So we thank you, Lord, for your example. And Lord, may you find us on that day and say, well done, that we can stand in our lot. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.